Okay. So what the Rambam said, I think that's where I cut out. We're in the middle of three. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav of Hilchos Tefillah. So the Rambam says, yes, there was activity on the Mizbeach at night, and therefore we're supposed to daven at night. But I recognize that the davening at night, Maariv, is not as obligatory as Shachris and Mincha. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, end of the set, last full line, Va'afal pikein nahagu kol Yisrael b'chol mikomot moshvotehem lihit palel arvit. Says the Rambam, Jews all over the world have accepted upon themselves to pray at Maariv, v'kiblua alehem kitfilat chova. And they accepted it on themselves as obligatory. So nowadays, despite the history, and there is a history there, but says the Rambam, despite the history, our obligation to daven Maariv is the same as our obligation to daven Shachris and Mincha. Okay. With that as a background, let's move on to Friday night, simply because I'm interested in talking about Friday night, and I spent some time looking at it. And let's ask ourselves whether Friday night davening is the same as the rest of the week. How yes and how no. Okay, so let's start first with the most obvious example, that we have a prayer called Kabbalat Shabbat on Friday night. Obviously, it doesn't exist during the rest of the week, because it's related to Shabbos. But look very carefully. It's not in the Rambam at all. The Rambam has an idea of Kabbalat Shabbat, which is the halachic acceptance of Shabbos, which we'll talk about in a minute. But not surprisingly, it doesn't appear in the Rambam. And more or less, it doesn't really appear in Shulchan Aruch or in the Rambam. Now, we all know the reason, and I'll tell you how. I went a few summers ago, Elka and I went to Prague, and we went to the Maharal Shul, which was built in the 1200s or the 1300s. We went on Friday night to daven there, and Elka said to me as we were walking, we're going to a shul to daven Kabbalah Shabbos that's older than Kabbalah Shabbos itself. The answer is, what we do in shul on Friday night Kabbalah Shabbos, the Rambam never did. Tanoim and Amoraim never did. The tefillah never existed. It was created in Tzfat, as we all know, in the mid-1500s. The Ari and his disciples, including the Mechaber, created a new tefillah. Now, how do you create a new tefillah? Right, you're not allowed to do that. So first of all, it's important to recognize the idea behind the tefillah pre-existed the Ari and his group, and it pre-existed Kabbalistic ideas. It's a Gemara, but it's really more than a Gemara. Look at source number four. It sounds like this is some Kabbalistic source. No, it's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yutes Amud Aleph. Rabbi Chanina me'atef v'koi apanya d'mali shabso. Rabbi Chanina, got dressed and went out to... as it was turning into Shabbos. Amar, bo'u v'netze likrat Shabbat ha-malka. Right? That's not Rav Yosef Alkabetz from the Chadodi. That's the Gemara. He said, let's go out and greet the Shabbos queen. Rabbi Yani lovesh ma'an yomali Shabbosav v'amar bo'i kala, bo'i kala. He wore some special clothing, went out again. So the idea of literally going out and welcoming the Shabbos, that predated the Ari and the Kabbalists in Tzfat. The idea had always been that we're somehow supposed to accept Shabbos. It might be related to the idea of Tosefa Shabbos, as we all know, right? We're supposed to add on time, right? We light candles Erev Shabbos, and we accept Shabbos, hopefully, before Shkia, right? The idea is to show not just that, Shabbos is here, but that we're excited for Shabbos, right? Hama'acharim latzeit min ha-Shabbat u'memaharim lavo. That's a line from the song Kol Mekadesh, right? We want to end Shabbos later. We want to start Shabbos earlier. So the idea of, you know, welcoming Shabbos was always out there. But it's fair to say that no one had ever davened Kabbalah Shabbos before. It's almost certainly the case that the Rambam said, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat, that, you know, we have a tshuva from the Rambam where people ask him whether you should say that or not. And he says, well, if that's the minhag, you should say it. But, you know, in the Rambam Shul, presumably, they davened Mincha. They said, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. And then they davened Ma'ariv, or maybe they had a shir and they waited. But a tefillah called Kabbalah Shabbos or Kabbalah Shabbat did not exist before, let's say, you know, 1560. And then there was a struggle to make it part of, you know, normative Judaism, as often happens, because it's a big deal to create a new tefillah. So why was the tefillah accepted? There's a lot of literature on this. My sense is the following. First of all, the idea behind it already existed, right? The idea of accepting Shabbos already existed. Now, what's in Kabbalah Shabbos? The answer is not a lot. Who would be offended by it? Yes, we say six prakim of Tehillim, you know, but for God's sakes, they're Tehillim, right? We're not making up a bracha. There's no Shmona Esrei. There's no fancy anything. We simply say six prachim of Tehillim, which are beautiful and speak about the kingship of God. Now, it's true. There's a new tefillah that was introduced called the Chadodi. You know, that was a bit of a struggle. There were different versions of it. But other than that, there's nothing really offensive about it, right? You know, for the most part, it's just codifying or you know, making it the norm, an idea that existed before. Presumably in shuls, there were various minhagim about how to accept Shabbos. So the Kabbalists in Sfat created a prayer. Again, there was a huge struggle for it to be accepted or not. What's the one, how do you know, even in our time, how do you know that there was a struggle and that Kabbalah Shabbos was sort of accepted as a compromise? I'll give you a hint. It has to do with where the Chazan stands. Right? The compromise in, wait, we're not accepting this new bizarre tefillah, was, you know what? Let's do it not from where the Chazan normally stands, so that everybody will know, you know, it's not a real tefillah. That was the compromise. Now, you know, I think if you ask most Jews now, what's your favorite tefillah? You know, Kabbalah Shabbos would win. It, you know, it's cool. And I have to say, you know, I remember there was a time where you just said it, right? And Shlomo Kalbach was still alive. And there was no, you know, Kalbach, whatever. But, you know, that was a struggle. And the reason why the Chazan stands in the middle is because you want to make clear, this isn't really tefillah b'tzibur. So, for example, if you daven at home, right? You could say Kabbalah Shabbos. It doesn't need a minyan at all. Now, interestingly, just as an aside,
is that why I sometimes have a katan do it also?
There's no rules. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, without getting into trouble, right, the people who are pushing, you know, women's tefillah point out, correctly so, you know, what's the problem with a woman leading it? It's not a davar shebikdusha. It doesn't need a minyan. Interestingly, in Germany, in the 17 and 1800s, the davening from the middle was a huge deal. You know why? Because churches and Reform temples prayed from the middle. Reform in particular. And so, you know, the Chassam Sofer, for example, you know, fought the war against any changes. So he was kind of stuck, because he didn't want to daven Kabbalah Shabbos from the middle, because that made it look like he was copying Reform, who did it mostly for acoustics. Okay. Anyway, that was the fight. Now, don't ask me how the minhag became on the Yom Noram in many shuls, they daven from the middle. Right? I think nowadays, you know, the middle issue in terms of Reform Judaism doesn't exist. But anyway, that's out there. Okay? So the first thing is we daven from the middle because it's not a real prayer, you know, even though we love it. Now, what about Kabbalat Shabbat as a halacha, meaning when does Shabbos start? This is a mistake I think we make in shuls, especially because we sing Yidid Nefesh before Luchun or Anana. And so it takes a long time till you get to the point in time where you accept Shabbos. So look what the Shulchan Aruch says in source number 5. Again, I think the Mechaber, obviously, I think he probably davened Kabbalah Shabbos, but it certainly wasn't accepted. So he doesn't really bring it in the Halachos, but he says as follows. V'yesh cholkim al ba'al halachos gedolos v'omrim she'ein kabbalat Shabbat talui b'hadlakat haner ela b'tfilat arvit. Again, here, the words Kabbalat Shabbat don't mean the prayer. Means literally our acceptance of Shabbos, right? The moment in which it becomes also to do malacha. So the Bahag said, it becomes also to do malacha when you light candles, which is problematic for us because our wives light candles before we daven mincha. The Mechaber says, no, he thinks it's when you daven ma'ariv. Shekevan shamar achazan barchu, hakol parshin mimalachtam. He's basically saying the way I see it is when the chazan says malacha, says barchu, everybody puts away their phones. Now again, my instinct is they daven marv earlier, but he says that's the dividing line. When you say barchu, that's the dividing line, and that's when Shabbos starts. But then he says uledidan for us. Once you say Mizmor Shir, Have Kibarchu Liditu. It's like our Barchu. In the old days, they didn't say anything, so Barchu meant it was Shabbos. Now he says, when you say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat, that's what makes it Shabbos. Now the Ramah. The Ramah, who again, I think my guess is he never even heard of Kabbalah Shabbos as a tefillah. Because he lived at the same time as the Mechaber, he lived at the same time as the Ari, more or less, but he lived in Krakow. So, you know, he may have been familiar with some, but there was certainly no prayer that he did. Rama says, V'haminhag sha'ota ishaha madleket mekabelat Shabbat bahadlaka, im lo shehit na tchila. He says, no, what we believe is, when a woman lights candles, she accepts Shabbos, right? That's how we paskin la halacha. When a woman lights candles, she can't do malacha afterwards. Unless she has in mind, aval sha'ar b'nei habayit mutarin b'malacha ad barchu. Says the Rama, but everybody else, meaning us, you could do malacha until barchu. Now again, my sense is the Rama didn't say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, and he certainly didn't say Kabbalah Shabbos, so that's how he paskins. But the Mishneh Berurah, who lived into the 20th century, certainly heard about Kabbalah Shabbos, and he says in source number 6 as follows: Aval b'mekomotenu haminhag k'hayom arminhag miyad she'omrim mizmor shir mekablim hatzibur Shabbat alayhu. When the tzibur says mizmor shir, that functions as an acceptance of Shabbos, and I suppose he has in mind that we should have in mind that we're accepting Shabbos. Va'asur b'chol ha'melachot, afilu adayin hayom gadol. Right, he says it doesn't matter if the sun is still out. When you say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat, that is your acceptance of Shabbos. Okay, now here's another shita. V'katav b'sefer derech chachma, dehu hadin b'mekamot shenohagim lomar lechadodi, u'mesaymin bo'i kala, havei kabbalat Shabbat mamash. Okay, va'ayin be whatever that sefer is. He says as follows: when, if you say lechadodi, he suspects that when you say bo'i kala, that is your acceptance of Shabbos. Now halacha l'maisa, that's 10 seconds before you say mizmor shir yom haShabbos, so it doesn't have a big halachic nafkamina. But so the hashkafically it does, and so basically here are the options. Okay, the Baal Achas Gedolos said you accept Shabbos when you light candles. Okay, that is how we paskin with respect to women. But what about us? Right, we don't light candles, so when do we accept Shabbos? So the Mechaber said, well, you accept Shabbos when you say Baruchu, because that's when you daven Mariv, and Mariv is, you know, the thing that makes it Shabbos. But then he admits that there may be a thing before that that makes it Shabbos, and that's the recitation of Mizmor Sheir B'Yom HaShabbat. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Sefer saying, well, it may be even be a tiny bit earlier. It might be that at the end of Lecha Dodi, that's when you accept Shabbos. Now, all this is great, except in the winter, it doesn't work. And I'll explain. You know, we want to accept Shabbos early. That's a mitzvah. That's called Tosefet Shabbos. Mosifin Mehachol Al HaKodesh, right? We have certainly a mitzvah derabanan of accepting Shabbos early so that it's not ki'ilu forced upon us. Rather, it's something that we're doing willingly. And the way it works is if you go to a shul that, I don't know, the Davin's Maariv, the Davin's Mincha, let's say 5 minutes after Zman Hadlakat Neirot, like my shul does, and you assume that that takes 10 minutes, then they sing, you know, you did Nefesh, that's another 5 minutes. Then let's say they have a Kalbach thing, right? And it's another 10 minutes till you get to Lechadot, you're too late. Meaning, it's already Shabbos. There's nothing you could do, but you know, you say all the things, it's beautiful. But it's clear that it's already dark out and you're not getting that extra mitzvah of Tosefa Shabbos. So what a lot of people say, and it makes sense to me, is just after Mincha, accept Shabbos. Right? Before Kabbalah Shabbos, and before they sing, you know, you did Nefesh. Just say, you know, I hereby accept Kiddusha Shabbos. Or say the first line. Say, Mizmashir Chanukah, Mizmashir B'Yom HaShabbat, and have in mind that you're accepting Shabbos. Or say in Hebrew, you know, Hareini Mekabel Alai Kiddushat Shabbat. Because it's silly. You're in shul anyway. You know, you're saying L'chun Aranana, you're saying Mizmah L'David, you're saying all these things, but somehow you haven't gotten around to simply accepting Shabbos. So that's my suggestion. I think it's obvious that that's the right thing to do. And that way you get the extra mitzvah. Yes.
Does anyone say to do that besides you?
So I don't count. I don't remember who I heard it from, but I think if you talk to people, they'd go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, whether anybody announced it, I don't know. But to me, it makes a lot of sense. Let's put it this way. I don't see a downside. I really don't. I'm not saying anybody does anything wrong if they don't do it, but you know, I don't see a downside to it. Okay.
Does that mean on the weeks we bring Shabbat in early, it's actually preferable to really do that among, because it's the minority of people that do that, but it sounds like more should really do that if they could. Well,
yes and no. You know, the Rav once said, if you it's great if you want to bring in Shabbos early, then do it all year long. You know, he said, like, it's pretty obvious that you do it in the summer out of a convenience. Now, it's sometimes convenience is also a chumrah, and that's lovely. You know, it gets into all kinds of issues. All I'm saying is, you know, if you take seriously Tosefa Shabbos, so great. So, you know, make early, you know, making early Shabbos in the winter would be pretty funny. Right?
Do I?
Right? Bruce would be making, post to the list, Bruce, to that fraud list tomorrow. Looking for a 3:45 Kabbalah Shabbos this Friday. You know, you'll see. You'll get smashed. It's happened to other people on the list. Okay.
Do I have to actually Makabel Shabbat or I can throw
the... So that's the thing.
Why the fact that Shabbos is coming in?
So that's the thing. It's, you know, it's unclear. On the one hand, you're in shul, you're dressed for Shabbos, you're singing L'chun Aranana. Yeah, of course, you sort of have it in mind, but it sounds like in the poskim that technically speaking, it doesn't happen till the end of Lecha Dodi / Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. And all I'm saying is it doesn't seem to cost us anything to accept it earlier. You may be right. I'm not saying it has to be this way, but I'm just saying, you know, let's say in yeshiva, I'll point this out, we sing Yedid Nefesh after Kabbalah Shabbos. And before Baruch Hu, and I assume that so that you can get it done sooner.
Maybe it's the linkage with the home. If you do that, is it now on the household that your wife also is like linked to your taking it in early, even though she's
your home? Wife already lit. She took it in before you.
Right.
Arthur?
Yeah, I have two questions. One, you said we're not supposed to be able to create, we shouldn't be able to, we're not allowed to create new tefillot. I want to know
why. Yeah, okay, fine, yeah.
Okay, one. Two, how are we allowed to turn around and put our backs to the Aron?
Yeah, so that's a big question. You're right. That's a funny minhag, and it's a big question. In my shul, I see people who don't turn around. You know, the original idea was turning west. And like when I davened in Tzfat, I think all these people turn west. The minhag of turning to the door, I believe, is traced to the fact that you're welcoming, you know, Shabbos Hamalka. So presumably, you know, she comes through the door, even though she wouldn't come through the door because it's the men's section. Little joke there. Okay, anyway, so that's where it came from. So my sense is that we do it and it's clear we're welcoming Shabbos Hamalka. So therefore, it's not disrespectful to turn your back to the Aron Kodesh. But you're right, Arthur. That's a discussion about whether it, you know, it's competing values. On the one, it's a really cool thing to turn your back, to turn around. On the other hand, you know, you have your back to the Aron Kodesh. You're absolutely right. Maybe the compromise is you turn west, which is in our shuls in Efrat, facing the Aron Kodesh is more or less like that's turning left, I think, because the Aron Kodesh is north. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And what about the tefillot?
They're not tefillot, they're tehillim.
Yeah, but you mentioned, why can't we create new tefillot?
Oh, because, certainly the salvation, because it's well beyond us, because creating new praises of God, you know, it's a real problem. And Chazal, you know, one of the things we have, I don't want to sound like a song, we have tradition, we have a Mesorah. And so every time you play with it, you know, you run some kind of risk. So obviously, you know, we have a Tfilah L'Shlom Amdina, was written by Rav Herzog. Right? He didn't make, you know, it's something we add and it's based on Psukim and we try to be careful, right? Like for me, it makes much more sense to say Halal on Yom HaAtzmaut than to make up a new thing. That seems more traditional to me, right? Chazal made up a Tfilah. Okay, we're now using it on a day that they never heard of, but so it goes. Okay. Let's move forward so we can knock off a whole bunch of things. Let's move to Maariv on Friday night. Okay, the first difference we have in Maariv is that we don't say V'hu Rachum, right? Every Maariv during the week starts V'hu Rachum, and Friday night it does not. Why not? So the first thing is, you should know, it's a machlokas. It says the Torah in source number 7, V'nohagin bisfarad lomar V'hu Rachum ki bishar hayamin. Yeah, in Sfarad, they said V'hu Rachum on Friday night. Uva Ashkenaz ain no hagim la omra, but we don't do it. Ulafi atam shekatavti l'mala she'omrim oto b'shvil hamalkot ro'ui shelo la omro b'shabbat. He says as follows. The original recitation of V'hu Rachum seemed to relate to the fact that, you know, a day has passed. We did certain things wrong during the day that we might be chayav makos for. So we say right before the new day begins of Maariv, V'hu Rachum yechaper avon v'lo yashchit, God should forgive us for our sins. And the Torah says, you know, that's not in the spirit of Shabbos, right? Shabbos is supposed to be happy. We don't do tshuva on Shabbos. We don't forgive our sins. So therefore, you know, it makes sense that we wouldn't say V'hu Rachum, that's not keeping with the spirit of Shabbos, to say it on Shabbos. I often think that during the weekdays, V'hu Rachum serves as like a type of Rabotai Nevarech before benching. You know, like, everybody pay attention, we're about to say Baruch Hu, and on Friday night, it's not really necessary because, you know, everybody's already into the daven. Okay, so, but the first difference is that we don't say V'hu Rachum. Then, it's completely identical until the end of the bracha of Hashkivenu, which has a different ending on Shabbos on Friday night than it does during the week. So here's the mechaber in source number 8. The Birkat Hashkivenu ein chotim ba shomer amo Yisrael lo'ad. Right? We all know that during the week, the end of that bracha is shomer amo Yisrael lo'ad. We don't say that on Friday night. Ella Kevan shehigia le ubitzel kinafecha tastirenu. Omer ufros aleinu sukat shlomecha. Well, he has ufros sukat shalom aleinu ve'al yushalayim irecha. We do it differently. Baruch atah Hashem haporeis sukat shalom aleinu v'al kol amo Yisrael v'al yushalayim. That's the bracha that we know. So the question is, why Shomer Amo Yisrael Ad during the week, and why HaPoreis Sukkot Shalom on Friday nights? So the Mishneh Berurah says as follows. Ve'im shachach, I'm in source number 9. Ve'im shachach va'amar Shomer Amo Yisrael tachat HaPoreis Sukkot Shalom, right? It could happen. You're not paying attention. You end the bracha the way you normally do. So he says, Im nizkar toch kidei dibur. If you recognize your mistake immediately, within like 2 seconds, it's considered the amount of time it takes to say like Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umori, 2 or 3 seconds. Yomar miyad achar tevat la'ad. You just say Baruch Atah Hashem Shomer Yisrael la'ad. Haporei sukat shalom. Ve'im shaha kidei dibur. But if you waited longer, or here it is. V'hu kidei sheyomar Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umori. If you waited more than 2 or 3 seconds from the time that you said Shema Yisrael La'ad, then ain't sarich la'omro. V'lo yachzor od apam. You don't have to say it, and you don't have to repeat. There's nothing wrong. Why? Because presumably, you know, all week long you say that, the bracha works. Okay? So I guess I don't have it here. The question is, what's different? So the explanations that I saw relate to the following. Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad seems to imply that we need protection. We're worried about something and we need protection. But again, that seems to be inconsistent with the theme of the Oneg of Shabbos and the joy and the comfort level that we have on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, yeah, we change it to a happier bracha, a bracha about shalom, haporei sukat shalom aleinu, throwing stuff about and all of Am Yisrael and Yushalayim. Essentially, you know, we've made it a happier bracha. Now, I can't trace, you know, who made this change or whether it was a change. You know, was it always the case that here's Marv 6 days a week and here's Marv on the seventh night? Don't know. But the answer is, you know, if you said Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad, proving you weren't paying attention, by the way. Okay, that is the bracha normally, and you would be yotze with that on Friday night. But the change relates to the fact that we want our davening on Friday night to be more confident, I would say, to be less defensive. And instead of asking God to protect us, we want God to bring peace and joy to our lives. Okay, that's the form of Maariv. But then he points out the following. Go back to 9. The Mishneh Berurah says, "Haminhag lomar." This was clearly added later. The minhag is achar siyum habracha. After you say haporet sukat shalom aleinu, the minhag is to say v'shamru b'nei solat haShabbat. Right now, the minhag is to sing it. Uva moadim va'idaber Moshe b'rosh hashanah tiku b'chodesh shofar. Right, you say some pasuk that connects your mariv with the theme of, you know, of the day.
Do you hit the gross so you not to say it?
Give me a chance. So the first thing is, you know, you notice that, you know, mariv is the same. So somehow it's like an effort without changing mariv too much to now connect Maariv to whatever day it is. So the Mishneh Berurah says in source number 10 that you say Vayichulu, the Amar of Amnuna, Kol HaMitpalel Va'omer Vayichulu, Ki'ilu Na'asa Shutaf LaHakadosh Baruch Hu B'Ma'aseh Breshit. Saying Vayichulu, saying the parasha, Vayichulu HaShamayim V'Aretz V'Chol Tzva'am Vayichal Elokim V'Yom HaShvi, saying that Ki'ilu makes you a partner with God in creating the world. Says the Gemara there, Al tikrei vayichulu elo vayichlu. Perush HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hu. It's like me and God completed the creation of the world. You know, so obviously it's not true, but it speaks to the idea we were speaking about before, I want to accept Shabbos on my own. I want to partner with God. Okay? Umikal makom b'di'eved im lo amru ein machzirin oto. Right? It's not an inherent part or an integral part of Ma'ariv. If you don't say it, so you didn't say it. V'kol shekein l'didan damrim b'kiddush v'yichulu. We're going to say v'yichulu later on anyway when we make kiddush. That's our minhag. Right? So it's not that critical. Now, as was pointed out, the Gra's minhag was not to say it. Why not? Because even during Ma'ariv, you want to be someich ge'ula l'tfila. Right? The bracha of Ga'al Yisrael, or the bracha of Haporei Sukkot Shalom, is supposed to connect us directly with Shmona Esrei. Just like in the morning, the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael and Shachris is supposed to not be interrupted by anything, and you go directly into Shmona Esrei. So in theory, although not as severely, that halacha applies to Ma'ariv as well. So says the Gaon, you know, it's not worth it putting something in between. It's a lovely thing to say Vayechulu, but it's not worth separating between the Birchas HaGeula and Shmona Esrei. It's the same reason why the Gra changed the Minhag and nobody in Israel says Baruch Hashem La'olam at the end of Ma'ariv on weekday nights, which people do in Chutz La'aretz, right? Because he said, you're supposed to be Somech Geula L'Tfila. Okay, good. That's the next change. Now we go to Shmona Esrei. So obviously Shmona Esrei is a huge change because Shmona Esrei is not the 19 brachos that we say during the week. Shmona Esrei is 7 brachos, right? First 3 are the same ones we say during the week. Last 3 are the same ones we say during the week. The middle one, Kiddushat Hayom, is a special Shmona Esrei for Shabbos. So what happens if you made a mistake? I'm not saying that, you know, it's happened to me, but let's say you're not paying attention. We're talking about accepting Shabbos. I have a relative, I don't want to say who, some of you may know him, who likes to say he's generally mekabel Shabbos during the bracha of Olam al Shinim of Ma'ariv on Friday night. Okay? The idea being, you know, when you don't pay attention, you wake up in the middle of Shmona Esrei, you realize you're saying a weekday Shmona Esrei. So other than how funny that is, or how sad, depending on your perspective, the question is, how bad is it? Or what happens if that happens to you? What happens if you wake up during V'lam al-Shinim and you go, oh my God, it's Friday night? So says the Mechaber in Source 11, Im ta'a v'hitchil tfilat hachol. Let's say, you know, you're in the middle of Atachone, Rifa'inu. He says, you're in the middle of the bracha. He says, "Gomer ota bracha shenizkar basheta." You have to finish the bracha that you're in the middle of. If you've said even one word of the bracha, you have to finish it. Umatchil shel Shabbat, and then you go back to ata kidashta. Lo shna nizkar bebirkat atachonein. Doesn't matter if you remember in the first bracha. Lo shna nizkar bebracha achat mishara brachot. You woke up during Shema Kolenu. Now, why is that? Oh, well, okay. Anyway, so that's the din. The din is, if you realize that you're saying the wrong Shmona Esrei, you have to complete that bracha, and then you go back and say the Shmona Esrei that you're supposed to say.
Musaf, though, what would you be doing for Musaf? That's the chol.
So, okay, I was going to skip it, but I see that you're on your game. Let's finish reading. V'yesh omrim dibemusaf posek afilu be'emtza bracha. Right? In Musaf, since there is no chol davening, thank you very much for that. So then you have to stop immediately in the middle of the bracha because you're not saying anything. Okay? There's no corresponding weekday. There is no weekday Musaf. There's Rosh Chodesh, there's Chol Hamoed, whatever. There's no weekday Musaf. Now, why? Here's the interesting part. Why is it that you're supposed to, if it's not a weekday and I'm not supposed to say Atachonein, why does the halacha tell me to continue saying Atachonein? It's the wrong bracha. So says the Mishnah Berurah in source number 12, it's simple, the reason is simple. Hatam hu, debidin hu, debay litzluya yud ches brachos b'shabas k'mo b'chol. No, mitzad hadin, there's nothing wrong with saying the regular Shmona Esrei on Shabbos. Why? These things don't apply. Refa'inu doesn't apply. Atachonin doesn't apply. Shema Kohen doesn't apply. Ulehazkir kiddushat hayom ba'avodah kimo b'rosh chodesh. We could have said a regular Shmona Esrei, and we would mention Shabbos, you know, in Ritzei, or in Ritzei. We put in, you know, like we do in benching, right? Ritzei Hashem, you know, we would make a reference like we do on Rosh Chodesh, okay? Or the Chol Shamo, we do it on Chol Hamoed. So why don't we do that? He says, Zorak mishum kavod Shabbat lo itrichuhu rabbanon v'tiknu bracha achat be'emtzai l'shabbat. He says it's just because of Tircha de Tzibura. How fascinating is that? It's not just that, but he says, Chazal didn't want us to have to say such a long Shmona Esrei on Shabbos. The other explanation is we're not supposed to ask for Bakashot on Shabbos, right? We're not supposed to ask God for things. Because again, when you ask for something, it's an interesting idea. It's not that God doesn't want to hear our requests. It's a psychological insight that Chazal had. When you ask for something, it reminds you that you don't have it. And it undermines the serenity, you know, that you want to have on Shabbos. It undermines the feeling you want to have of Shabbos, that life is wonderful. Okay? But mitzad hadin, you could say a regular Shmona Esrei on Shabbos. V'lachein b'di'eved, shehitchila bracha. So therefore, if you in the middle of Refa'inu, you realize what's going on. Gomra, you finish it. Shehi re'uyo lo min hadin, because mitzad hadin, nothing wrong with saying Refa'inu on Shabbos. And afterwards, you go back and start with Ata Kidashto, Ata Echad, or whatever, Yismach Moshe. You go back to whatever it is, but there's nothing wrong with having said a Chol Shmona Esrei on Shabbos. And therefore, bizarrely, different than other halachos, if you wake up in the middle of a bracha, you complete that bracha. Because Mitzad Adin, there was nothing wrong with saying a regular Shmona Esrei on Shabbos. It's just either they wanted us to have an easier time and say a shorter Shmona Esrei, it's Tircha de Tzibura, or because it's a downer to ask for things because they remind you of what you're missing. Okay. Let's see if I can move this.
If you would have a need to daven for those.
Wait, I got it. We're not going to get close to finishing. Let me just make the other points quickly. Where are we? Yeah, okay. 13. What happens after Shmona Esrei? Something interesting happens. We all say Vayechulu together, right? There is some idea of trying to say Vayechulu together with other people where possible. The idea being it's a form of edus, form of testimony, so that, you know, if you want to have at least one other person saying it with you, that's a strange minhag. Okay, but how does the chazan do it? And what goes on? What's the bracha of Magen Avot? Right? We all recognize what it is. It's kind of like some fake mini Chazaras Hashatz. Now, again, you say to yourself, why do I need a fake mini Chazaras Hashatz? No Marav has a Chazaras Hashatz. Right? So, like, why do I introduce it on Shabbos? So he says in 13, the Mechaber says, V'omesh shliach tzibu bracha achat me'ein sheva. He says, Magen Avot bidvaro mechaim. It's called bracha achat me'ein sheva. It's one bracha that includes references to all the seven brachas of Shmona Esrei. V'ein ha'yachid omer ota. But obviously, individuals shouldn't say it because it's like a type of Chazaras Hashatz. Aye, but we do say it. Hagad Rama says, Miu, ima yachid rotzeh lahachmir al atzmo v'yachol la'umra b'li p'ticha u'b'lo chatima. An individual who wants to say it without the opening bracha and without the closing bracha can do it. He says, V'chein no'agim atzibur la'umra im shliach tzibur b'lo p'ticha v'chatima. And that's the minhag he says. So again, I have a sitter in front of me. So the chazan says, the way we have the minhag is, the chazan says, Baruch atah Hashem alakinu velokeh avosinu, kakel agadol yibo v'nor kelyon, konei shamayim v'aretz. Then everybody says, Magen avot bidvaro. And then the chazan, there's no bracha there. Then the chazan finishes, elokeinu velokeh avotenu, ritzein avim nuchatenu, which finishes with the bracha, Baruch atah Hashem mekadesh ha-shabbat. So just to make sure we get this done, you have to be careful of one mistake that people make. Sometimes everybody says Magen Avot Bidvaro together, and then the Chazan just picks up and says Elokein Avokei Avoteinu Ritzein Avim Milchateinu. That's a mistake. Why? Because the whole point is it's supposed to be Chazar Sashatz. So we don't say Chazar Sashatz, the Chazan does. So the way it's supposed to work is the Chazan opens with Baruch Atah Hashem, right? Then he says Konei Shamayim Va'aretz. Then everybody says Magen Avot. Then the Chazan out loud repeats Magen Avot because it is supposed to be a type of Chazar Sashatz. Okay, so that has to be said by the Chazan out loud. Okay. Now, last thing, which became a kind of a big deal during Corona. And that is, apparently, this fake Chazar Sashatz and Magen Avot is faker than we think. What do I mean by that? So look at 15. The Shulchan Aruch says, Ein Omrim Bracha Me'ein Sheva, you don't say Magen Avot, Beveit Chatanim Va'Avelim. In a house of, let's say you have a special minion for a chatan or for an avel. Deleka taima de ma'achrim lavosh yu nizokin. It turns out that this fake Chazar Sashatz was instituted because shuls were like, say, out in the fields. And if you daven Shmona Esrei slowly, it sounds strange, they made up davenings so that even if you daven slowly, people would still be in shul to walk with you. I know how strange that sounds, but the takana was related directly to the fact that you were davening in a shul. But if it's an ad hoc minyan, if it's not a shul, you're davening in somebody's house together, then Magen Avot doesn't apply. There was no takana that this be said in anything other than an established shul. Now the Mishnah Berurah, the last source, says v'makom shenoagim la'umra ein limchot biadam kol kach. The Mishnah Berurah says, if people say Magen Avot in an ad hoc minyan, you don't have to pick a fight about it. Kach kosev Magen Avot, M'shem Radvaz, Aval HaPrim Begadim B'fatfek B'zed Dahabi Safek Bracha Levatala. The Prim Begadim says, no, you can't say that it's not a regular shul, because it might be a Bracha Levatala.
So what about the Avot Minyanim?
One second. So the first thing is, so if you're making a minyan in the old days, pre-corona, right? Because you're too lazy to walk to shul, the accepted halacha really was you don't say Magen Avot, right? When I make a minyan in my house, when I have guys over for Shabbos, we don't say Magen Avot. I remember when I learned the halacha, we had a Gush Shabbaton in a hotel. And Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal said to me, do they have a minyan here every week? And I said to him, I don't know. Why? And he said to me, Magen Avos. I had not known the halacha till then. I promise you, since then, I would not forget the halacha because it was embarrassing. But that's really the case. So the question was, when people started making outdoor minyanim for corona, were those minyanim supposed to say Magen Avos or not? That was a major machlokes. A bunch of tshuvas, Rav Asher Weiss has tshuvas on this. Some people claim the minyan that I went to on my block, Rav Avram Oren, who kind of functioned, the rabbi basically said, no, the minhag Yerushalayim is to say Magen Avos all over. I can tell you that the briskers don't think so. When we davened on the porch opposite the Kotel last year, I remember Moshe Lichtenstein said we shouldn't say Magen Avos. And we were 300 meters from the Kotel, but we weren't at the Kotel. So that's a strange thing. When you make your own minyan privately, you don't say this fake Chazar Sashatz. When you daven in shul, you do. Who did I cut off? Who had a question? Okay, yes, anyway.
Earlier that if you feel the need to daven the full davening, for whatever reason, is it a mistake, therefore, to do so?
Yes, because you're in violation of Takanas Chazal. You could argue that it's not a bracha levatala, right? It's not a bracha levatala because you could do it. But, my feeling is you have to find, there's got to be another way. Say Tehillim, talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that would really be Parish Minat Tzibur. I think that would really be a mistake. Okay, so really quickly, we started this week's Parsha because Yaakov, Dav, and Maariv. We saw why Maariv might be different in its nature than the other Tefillot, but then we got into the fun of this new Tefillah called Kabbalah Shabbos, and is it really acceptance of Shabbos? And then Mariv, no v'hu rachum, or yes v'hu rachum, no shomer ma yisro la'ad, ha'poreis v'kat shalom, discussion of Vayechulu, and then we ended with this fascinating discussion of Magen Avot, which I think continues to be kind of a subject of dispute for people who make a minyan outside of shul. All right, everybody have a great, great week. Oh, I'm not here the next 2 weeks.
Have a safe trip, Ellie.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm sure that Bruce will find somebody much better than
me. We'll miss you.
Okay, well, I will not be bringing back souvenirs, so don't hold your breath.
Speaking from America. It's on Zoom.
Yeah, I'm going to be busy when I get there.
Yeah.
It's a work trip. All right, everybody, take care, be well, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
That's a call, Kelly.
Bye, everybody.
Okay. Good morning, Snowy. Arthur, you with us? Is Arthur here? Yep. Arthur, we're recording? I think we are recording.
I don't hear him, though. I hear you.
Well, Stu,
that's terrible.
What are you all chuckling at?
Can I introduce you, Stu? Are you ready?
What?
Are you ready?
Let's go. Let's go. Ready. Who knows if I'm
ready? 1 minute. 1 minute.